rumble of the Anjuna means it's time for the Coordinating Committee Report. This is Ruth Greenblatt, Chair of the Committee. This update will cover recent doings at UCSF and UC-wide that the Senate leaders should be aware of. July 2016. Note this committee will soon be known as the Executive Committee of the UCSF Senate Division. Item 1. Setting the course for 2016-2017. This is our last meeting of the 2015 to 2016 Senate session, so it would be helpful to get feedback on how things are going, what to keep as is, what should be changed. Additionally, this is a good time to submit queries to the campus and Med Center administrations so that in the fall, the newly reconstituted committees can make a rapid start on addressing priority issues. Item 2. Follow up on the 2012 campus space policy. We should consider requesting an update on this key document which launched the current era of space planning at UCSF. The document was presented to the Senate Coordinating Committee in October 2012, and at the time, the Senate leaders had many questions and comments on it. While a revision was promised, we have not received one. And as you will note, it is written as a final and definitive document. You will receive it prior to our meeting on Thursday. The discussion in 2012 noted that the plan was derived from the Columbia model and apparently driven by the UCSF School of Medicine. Space allocation is described as being tied to indirect recovery from research grants, which may cause space to be ceded back to the dean. There was minimal mention of education in the document, and I will also note now that it also did not mention clinical services very much. The UCSF Space Committee described in the document was comprised almost entirely of administrators and faculty who are bench researchers, and it was unclear at the time if faculty would be fairly represented in this process. I think we've made great effort to gain representation in space processes, but it is unclear if this document has been revised and which of the multiple space committees is now steward to it. Has space for education or clinical services been defined, and how will productivity of such space be assessed? What is the target indirect recovery per square foot now, and has space been ceded or repurposed pursuant to this policy? Item 3, data on indirect recovery. Administrative leaders report that the faculty do not have a good understanding of indirect recovery and the extent to which it covers or doesn't cover the cost of funded activities. The space policy noted in item 2 sets a per square foot recovery goal, but apparently indirect recovery does not fully support the research infrastructure. It may be helpful to get additional data on research space productivity, indirect recovery per square foot, and costs of various research settings. The space policy noted above averages recovery at the point of direct reports to the chancellor, which are mostly the deans. Besides getting these average data, we might want to request data on type of space, wet lab, imaging facility, supercomputing, or dry lab, and by business and campus. We should discuss this at our July 7th meeting. Item 4, changes in rules related to amount of faculty effort that can be charged to federal grants. The requirement that 95% FTE is the maximal effort that can be charged to federal funds has been eliminated. See the Espresso rule paper that will be distributed for this meeting. Provost Lowenstein asked the Senate to weigh in on the issue of how this change in policy should impact requirements for support at UCSF. At least one faculty member wrote him to ask that she or he be able to charge 100% of his or her effort to grants. This issue may be more complex than immediately evident. We know from our question of the month query regarding how well faculty activities match sources of support and how over the NIH salary cap effort is paid that schools, departments, and divisions vary widely in how they support faculty, including how state 9900 funds, endowments, and clinical revenues are applied. Some faculty reported that their salary was held at the NIH cap. Others received department support, some funded higher salary via clinical revenue, and some had been given funds by other faculty. Many indicated they had to scramble as individuals to find funds for over the cap salary or that 5% non-federal segment. Most respondents noted that their activity in teaching and service was not proportionately supported. A faculty member who has to struggle to obtain funds to cover the 5% non-federal salary might be happy to be permitted to fund full salary via grants. However, that would not solve the over-the-cap challenge. Also, unless appointed in the adjunct series, faculty are required to address the teaching and service missions of the university for merits and promotions. Moving faculty to 100% federal grant support might further exacerbate the gap between funding source and activity. Can the university require service in teaching when a faculty member's sole source of support is research? Would the APM be changed? This might move non-ladder rank faculty appointments more towards the franchise mode of employment. And combined with the recent change in the UCRP, what would the impact be on hiring and retention? Item 5, UCSF affiliation with St. Joseph's and potential affiliation with the Dignity System, St. Mary's and St. Francis Hospitals. Several faculty have written with questions about how women's reproductive autonomy interfaces with these affiliation possibilities. It appears that planning efforts may not be well coordinated with the clinical services, and issues of reproductive autonomy have not been fully addressed. We may want to submit several queries to UCSF Medical Center leaders to obtain early information that could aid clinical affairs and/or academic freedom in a review of the affiliation agreements that have become commonplace. Item 6, UC Council. Academic Council has recommended acceptance of the new clinical associate position. These are clinicians who are paid by affiliated institutions but do not teach or do other work that defines faculty status. However, the changes to clinical professor and voluntary clinical faculty may be sent back for more review. The divisions of campuses that do not have health sciences components question the liberal definition of creative work, which includes examples such as writing chapters and major texts. We're looking forward to see you on Thursday. There are some really weighty matters to discuss to set up action for next year. We'll see you then. Thank you.